shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Good morning, everyone. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, well, loud and clear.
Awesome. Yep.
Where's Chuck?
Where's Chuck is probably the first question. I am not Chuck. In fact, I am Matt. I'm actually joined with some guests today, but Chuck and Cindy have some stuff they had to attend to, so they will not be here today. But nevertheless, we got a good show planned out for you guys. All right, so let's go over some things. Today, it is currently 11 degrees outside. The weather is cold and partially cloudy here at the KFAR studio. We are located in Fairbanks, Alaska. I believe it's called the Golden Heart of Alaska.
Golden Heart City, correct.
Golden Heart City, and it is a great place to be. Let's see, we've got any questions, please call 458-TALK or 458-8255. Again, 458-TALK or 458-8255.
And they can listen to us on 660 AM or 970.5.
Absolutely, and if you don't want to use your radio, maybe you're not in your car, you're at home listening. Well, if you're at home listening, you're either on a radio or a computer, but you can go to kfarradio.com. You can click the orange ball that says Listen Live. We also do have a mobile app available on the App Store and the Google Play Store. You can go on, download that, and then you can listen live as well. You can also listen to our archives. All right, let's get this show started. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Absolutely.
If anyone knows what that is, that is what has built our country and has kept us free as Americans. And some people nowadays can consider that being stepped on, but I really don't believe so. I think we've got some pretty good freedoms. We've got some pretty amazing communities that will do what they can and
do what they must.
Do what they must. Absolutely. All right. And then I know this has been talked about a few times before, almost every radio show that we have hosted, but the State of Alaska Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or a political subdivision of the state. And as Chuck always says, isn't that weird? We just pretty much copy and pasted what was stated before, but
it works.
It works. Why change it if it's not broken? All right. So a few in-house reminders before we actually get the show started. Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be February 12th from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at TVSA Range. 1230 TVS Way, Fairbanks. That is the address, 1230 TVS Way, Fairbanks. The topic will be Introduction to Predator Hunting in Alaska. All right, let's see what else we got. Mark Richards from Resident Hunters of Alaska, the RAC Banquet on Saturday, January 31st, Pioneer Park Centennial Hall, which is located at 300 Airport Way, Fairbanks. Doors open at 5 p.m. Dinner is at 6:30 p.m. There will be a raffle, as this is a fundraiser. Big Daddy's Southern Barbecue Pork Buffet, chicken wings, barbecue beans, mac and cheese, coleslaw, exciting raffles, wall of guns and gear, cash bar, and more. Seating is limited to 200. Individual ticket prices are $60. Membership sponsor table, $500 each, which has 8 seats, includes the $250 raffle package. Business sponsor table, $800, seats 8, includes $400 raffle package. The platinum sponsor table is $2,000. Seats are up to 8, includes the $400 raffle package plus a firearm. Purchase tickets and view raffle items via the link at www.residenthuntersofalaska.org or call 907-371-7436. Public shooting hours at the TVSA range every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Cost is $5 for members and $20 for non-members. It's a great range and good people under new management. And last but not least, C4 Training Group is hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit in Fairbanks, Alaska on June 20th through the 21st. This exclusive immersive training event is designed to sharpen your defensive skills using ASP's evidence-based techniques. Experience 2 transformative days of professional instruction tailored for real-world self-defense scenarios. The instructors will be Neil Widener and Chris Bean. Yes, that's right, Chris Bean, like the baked beans. Go to our website course calendar to get the link to sign up or go directly to activeselfprotection.com slash shop to sign up. All right, so I've got some guests here today, famously known, world-renowned, the man himself, Colonel Montana Kid Hammer. His WWE name is The Hammer, all right? And we've got someone with him today, a man named Don. Don, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Don Logan. I'm also known as Barlow. I'm a member of the local Golden Heart Shooter Society Single Action Shooting Club. And also a NRA certified pistol, rifle, and concealed carry instructor, and also certified by the state of Alaska to teach the concealed handgun permit class. So I'm just here to chip in where I can fit in.
How about if you give us the This Week in Firearms History?
I think that's a great idea.
I think we'll go with that. Okay, so This Week in Firearms History, January 29th, 1880.
Ooh.
Paul Mauser secured a Belgian patent for improvements in breech-loading firearms, focusing on enhanced mechanisms for cocking, firing, and cartridge ejection in bolt-action designs. This patent advanced the Mauser system, which revolutionized military rifles by improving reliability, safety, and efficiency. The Mauser bolt action became the standard for many nations' armed forces in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, influencing designs like the Gewehr 98 and numerous derivatives used in both world wars.
Very good.
I've got some other notes on This Week in Firearms History.
Sure.
January 30th, 1835, Richard Lawrence attempted to assassinate President Andrew Jackson outside of the Capitol using two pistols. Two, right? So you have double the chance of success, both of which misfired due to damp powder, marking the first assassination attempt on a sitting U.S. president. And I would believe that's also the first failed assassination attempt sitting on a U.S. president. And then the other piece of firearms history, January 31st, 1606, Guy Fawkes, a key conspirator in the gunpowder plot to blow up the House of Lords using barrels of gunpowder, was executed in London, an event that highlighted early uses of explosives tied to firearm technology. There is a lot of stuff that has been happening recently with firearms. As we talked about in the previous week, we talked about SHOT Show. There's a lot of excellent stuff that's been coming out of it. And there's so much we want to talk about, but instead, we've got a lot of different information today, and you know, we only got about 2 minutes left. So, Mr. Hammer, if you want to give us what you've brought in really quick before we cut into our first break, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Before we go to the first break, there was a question back, maybe by you, Matt, asking how quickly did the Colt Walkers get manufactured and into the field? Well, they received the contract. Colt received the contract on the 4th of January, 1847, and there was no factory. He had no factory, no tools or anything, but he was able to, by June 7th, 1887, the first 220 pistols were made and issued to the field. Sam Colt actually had a pair of them in the fight before he was killed in October. So by the end of the year, all 1,000 were issued, and early in the next year, another 1,000 were ordered, although they would not be Colt Walkers when they were produced.
Huh.
But that's another story.
That is pretty impressive, especially given for the time, how quick they were able to pump out 1,000 pistols. I mean, nowadays you can do that in a day at any large-scale factory. But back then, with the technology they had, I imagine they're pulling blacksmiths from different parts of the countries. They're trying to do everything they can possible to fill a contract.
Well, and the name of the firearm would be Whitneyville Walker Colt. And it's Eli Whitney Jr., who's a renowned, already set up and going gun manufacturer who takes on this project for Colt. So, yes, it wasn't quite the labor. They just had to create the machinery, the tools, and then the revolvers.
Which, even then, is still impressive that they were able to get that done. I mean, I look at a cell phone and I think it's wizardry, alien magic. I can't imagine, you know, back in that day trying to invent a machine or build upon a foundation you already had to pump out maybe small parts, even large parts, boring out barrels, having to do that by hand. If you didn't, you know, obviously we don't, they didn't have stuff like lathes that we have now to the extent that we have, or computer automated programs that can just do it and you're checking for tolerances. That's pretty much it. So It is really interesting to think about how easy they were able to pump it out given their restrictions. But with that being said, we're going to go into our first break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Shooter's Corner.
When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters. No matter what it is, small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more, you'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 14. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 2 below tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Highs around 12. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for patiently waiting through that commercial break. All right, so before we talked about, well, simply put, just a lot of stuff. So getting into the main portion of today's topics, we're going to be talking a little bit about black powder, percussion, reproduction revolvers, different things that were going around probably around that time. Some open top designs, and I will let the Colonel and Don take it away.
Okay, thank you very much. What I'm looking at, hopefully, is to introduce this form of firearm to folks that may own one but don't know what to do with it or would like to get involved at all. So the Colt open top is one of the more prevalent or predominant. It's not the only production firearm. Where do we get them, or where are they made? They are made in Italy through two primary companies, Uberti and Pieta. Now, we're not probably going to go to Italy to get them, so where do we, the people, obtain them? Well, there are importers in the country like Taylor's and Company out in Winchester, Virginia. There's Early Model Firearms, or EMF, from California. Texas Jacks is a store that markets Cimarron's firearms, and of course, you can get these online. You know, please talk with them. They're pre-1900, so they don't require an FFL. Now, some places will do that, but there is no FFL required to purchase these. These can be mailed right to your home address. Midway USA is another place. Cabela's, another. So, yes. And the local gun stores from time to time have a comfortable run of these percussion open-top firearms. And, of course, the ever ubiquitous gun show may have them as well. So keep that in mind.
And now, don't forget the local cowboys probably have something they might be able to share with you.
There you go. Thank you very much. And maybe even at a gun show or at a club meeting. So, yes, thank you, Barlow, for that. When you're purchasing this firearm, there's probably going to be 32, 36, and 44 caliber pistols. What does that mean? That the 32 caliber is going to be a 48 grain ball of 3.315 diameter. The 36 caliber, an 80 grain ball, is going to either be a 375 or a 380. And then with the 44, there's the 451, the 454, and the 457. These will be 149, 144, and 140, or 141 and 144 grain balls, respectively. But the size will matter with your pistol. If you have an Army Model 60, a 451 ball, or better, a 454 will work well. If you use these two balls in a Colt Walker or Colt Dragoon, these balls can walk forward. They will not necessarily stay seated. So when you buy your firearm, if you should get a Pietta or a Uberti, look at the booklet that comes with it. They're really, really helpful. But size matters where your ball comes from. Now, some say you got to shave off a little bit of lead to make sure you've got a good seal. And that's not bad advice. I actually prevent that for reasons I won't go into for competitive, but you still need a seated chamber up front, and we'll talk about why that's important later. So we talked about the size of the ball, and it's got to be soft lead. And you don't want to cast hard lead because they will not deform and fit into those chambers like they need to meet the forcing cone to get the accuracy to run the distance.
Do you cast your own balls, kid, or do you use commercial?
Yes.
Both.
I do both, although I usually buy more than I cast because my time is valuable. Now, black powder, usually for all three of these firearms, 32, 36, 44, it is recommended that you use 3F. Now, again, people listening to the show, and I would invite you to call in with your comments, may know other recipes. And I do use 2F in some of my larger, you know, horse pistols, but it is recommended. And so that's what I would recommend for you to start. And any brand of black powder that you can get your hands on in the Golden Hard City, I have some that are 50 years old, cancer.
I believe it.
Yeah. But it is good. It's workable. And all. So the other part of the program is percussion caps. For most of the more modern era, the last 30 years, even 20 years, you're going to want a Remington number 10 percussion cap, not the 11, but the 10. But on the flip side, you can also substitute CCI number 11s, not 10s, for those two percussion caps. And why? Because they have the right circumference and they have the right depth to fit on the nipple portion of a cone. And we'll talk a little bit about what a cone is. It's that device that's actually screwed into the back of the cylinder. So how do we get started? You know, if you're like me, you can't wait to get the box open and get it out of the wrapper. Yep. And it's covered in a, not really a cosmoline, but it's in an oil. And that needs to come off of everywhere it is on the firearm so that you won't hinder its operation and it won't help build additional fouling issues that we'll discuss a little bit more. Once you have it dried, oil-free and water-dried, if you've used that form of cleaning, then you want to set the pistol to half cock, or to bring the pistol half to a half notch. Yeah, real quick here, I brought an example that
I missed off the mic there too.
Oops.
Yep. Actually has the firearm in the studio.
Yeah, and
it is clear for the listeners. It is clear. We are good.
Yep. And then that allows the cylinder stop to release, and you're able to rotate the cylinder. So what I like to do is put it on a stand so it's vertical. I like to fill all of my chambers with my powder. Whether I'm using, if I'm using the 3F. I want probably 35 grains in my Walker if it's going to stay SAS legal. I'm going to use probably 18 in, grains in my 51 Navy. I'll go, you can vary this, and accuracy and functionality will come usually about 8 or 9 grains in your 32. Once all of those chambers are filled, then I like to set a ball on top of the chamber mouth one at a time, and by using the lever, loading lever, and the loading ram, I drive the ball in at least deep enough so that it clears, it goes into the cylinder chamber, and it doesn't hang out too long to catch on the forcing cone of the revolver, this area here that the cylinder and barrel come together. And mate,
if I can really quick, sure. you said something interesting, or at least I think it's interesting. So you're filling the chambers up all at once, and then you're putting the actual projectile in one at a time. Why is it you do that? You're not. I know people that are listening may not have any idea even what you're talking about. And for the experienced listener, they might understand why, but. For everyone out there, why is it you're filling all the chambers at once with the powder, but then you're doing the projectile one at a time? Is it because you completely trust your ability to get the powder in and not spill, or what exactly is your reasoning behind that?
And a good question, because if I have it on a stand, like I will often do when I'm reloading at a competition, then you know once I do one step, which is powder, then I'll move to another step. Now, however, when I'm loading freehand, where I've got to, I don't have any place to set the pistol, I will charge the cylinder and set the ball. And seat it, because otherwise, if I tip it at too great an angle, you're going to lose the powder. So, and either way is doable. But for me, for the expedience when in competition loading, do all one thing, which is powder. Then I do all one thing, which is the ball. Then I will do all one thing, which is seating, setting the caps. Now, whether or not there's discussion about you need to use a wad for spacing and or to prevent a thing we'll talk about more called a chain fire. And I'll get into more of that topic when I get there. A lot of people will also put lube like beeswax and tallow, or you can get Crisco will work to seal the front. And what that does is as the ball is pushed down the barrel, it lubricates it and gives you less fouling. But do you need to do that? In antiquity, it was powder, ball, cap, shoot. People go, oh, no, you forgot the, well, it can be done different ways and for different reasons, yeah. Too. I usually do lube at competitions where if I'm just on a day of plinking, no, not yeah. so much.
Yeah, that lube mainly keeps the fouling soft enough so that you're able to clean the gun afterwards. Without it, it can get to be a problem.
Yeah, very dry and brittle.
And so. Really quick, just a note, we do have a caller that's tempted to call in, but we got about 2 minutes before we go into our main break. So caller, if you want to hold on until we come back from our break here in a minute or two, that would be great because I want to get to whatever questions or comments you may have. Mm-hmm. But yeah, talking about lubing for the competitions, I shoot USPSA, mm-hmm. And I've had pistols that I've run through the mud, not cleaning them for anywhere from outside of a deep clean, right? I might do a wipe down every now and then, but usually anywhere from 500 to 2,000 rounds before I would need it on modern firearms. But when it comes to USPSA, every single time I get done, throw it in my bag at home, I'm doing a rough and dirty breakdown. Yeah. I'm making sure every piece of it's clean because I do shoot a 2011, and for the most part, they're pretty finicky, especially if everything's not polished up correctly or magazines aren't tuned and all that sort of stuff. So it's just funny how we treat competition as we want this thing to be as best as possible, yeah. And then in the reality of using it day to day, maybe it didn't need to be that way, but there's something about competition use that it just, if anything can happen, it will happen.
And when you seat your ball, it's got to be seated on the powder charge. You can have no air gap because it will blow side walls out of cylinders.
Really?
So when you seat the ball, how deep do you seat it? You have to seat it at least against the powder.
That is, I got to shoot, I would say, a good amount of revolvers growing up and even to this day, but nothing like that where I'm actually having to weigh out how much powder is going into it, essentially reloading on the fly. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to hear about this sort of stuff, because this is what our country was kind of built on. This was the modernization. Yeah. This, at one point in time, this was the peak
avant-garde.
This it was everything that you could ever want in a firearm and more. So it is really, really cool to get an explanation behind this for people who maybe just throw it in a magazine. But as we are getting cut off by the cool music, if you're listening in, just take in all this history as much as you can, because at some point in time we may forget it. So please, as always, stay tuned. If you're just catching up, you can listen on the archives, but we will be right back with Shooter's Corner. Thank you so much.
From the Satellite West Studio, satellite-based voice communications, you're listening to KFAR Radio 97.5.
I'm John Saucier. U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff says they are making progress towards ending this war between Russia and Ukraine.
We have a security protocol agreement that's largely finished, a prosperity agreement that's largely finished, and I think the people of Ukraine are now hopeful and expectant that we're going to deliver a peace deal sometime soon.
Yeah, it's been a lot of war this winter. Russian forces striking Ukraine's critical infrastructure, leaving many people without heat. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries criticizing the crackdown on illegal immigration, says President Trump and Republicans have done nothing to address the needs of the American people.
Taxpayer dollars should be used to make life more affordable for the American people, not brutalize everyday Americans or kill American citizens. But that's exactly what's happening.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a 66-year-old Akutan man has been arrested on multiple felony charges after state investigators said he is linked to thousands of videos depicting child sexual abuse. The Alaska Bureau of Investigation said the case began in September when its Technical Crimes Unit and Task Force Dawnbreaker received multiple tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The reports flagged a man believed to be downloading large quantities of child sexual abuse material. After a months-long investigation, authorities identified the account as belonging to Tom Bereskin of Akutan, investigators said. Forensic analysis linked roughly 4,217 videos of child sexual abuse material to the account. Alaska wildlife troopers traveled to Akutan on Monday and Tuesday with transportation assistance from the Alaska State Trooper vessel Stimson. Investigators contacted Bereskin upon arrival and arrested him on 10 counts of possession of child sexual abuse material, according to authorities. A search of Bereskin's residence led to the seizure of multiple electronic devices, which investigators said will undergo further forensic examination.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. With our variety of CompuStar remote starts available, we are sure to have an option to fit everyone's needs. Enjoy many features like smartphone control with drone mobile, two-way rechargeable remotes, proximity unlock, additional security alarm, and so much more. With over 30 years of experience, Auto Trim Design takes pride in being CompuStar's only pro dealer in the interior. Contact us today to set up your appointment to have your remote start professionally installed. Stay warm with Auto Trim Design this winter.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for waiting patiently through our mandatory break. All right, so before we get into our discussion on everything cool in history when it comes to all these different pistols, powders, and different designs with cartridges and all that. We do have a caller, so let me get this caller on really quick. Caller, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, you're on. How you doing today?
I'm good. Hey, this is Al. I got just two things. One, I think if you spent more than a couple winters here, 11 degrees isn't cold.
Yep.
And two, could you explain what a horse pistol is? I had a couple imagined things come in my mind what it is, but maybe you could explain what a horse pistol is.
Certainly is. The Colt Walker pistol and the Dragoon pistol, the one that which is known as in antiquity as the first model army, were 4.5, almost 5-pound pistols by the time they were loaded. They were set in pommel holsters on the saddle rather than carried on the hip by the man. And so they were just nicknamed horse pistols because you nominally carried them, the military did, and even some civilians did so, by having the pistols in a pair of pommel holsters on the horse, thus horse pistols.
All right, cool. Thank you. Learn something new every day.
There you go. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's absolutely right. Learn something. I wouldn't even think of that. I mean, for anyone that's listening, it's a pistol that stays with the horse or is mounted to the horse. So if you want to put it in modern times, think of an M249 or an M240 on a Humvee. It's just kind of staying with it. You can take it off and use it if you want to, but staying with it. But all right, so.
There's another term you might hear those referred to as a hog leg.
Hog leg.
Right. But nominally then, those were the larger pistols wore on the leg, you know, and they did. They looked like you had a hog leg strapped to you. So, yes, that is another variation on that. If I may pick up.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
You know, we're talking about seating the projectile and, you know, making sure that it at least is set onto the powder so that it doesn't have to smash the powder or crush it. It just needs to be seated up against the powder good. Then comes the percussion cap seating, which now we go to the backside of the chamber to put those percussion caps on. And they will go over a part of the cone called the nipple. And what a cone is, it's screwed into the back of the cylinder. So it has a thread. It's got a shoulder so that you can, or a square so you can tighten it down and loosen it. It's got a shoulder that the nipple is built on. The nipple is where the cap goes, and then there's a thing called a vent that runs through the body of the cone that delivers the fire that's given from the exploding of the cap. And that that vent is venturied, so it tapers down and then opens up to keep.
So that piece you're talking about where this percussion cap is sitting on, so the entire thing is called the cone?
Cone. Well,
okay, so that is actually extremely interesting to me because I don't know, I guess I just haven't handled revolvers like that that much, but I always thought they were just built into the entire cylinder. I didn't realize that it was a separate piece, which it makes sense because that thing is getting smacked with a hammer every time you fire it. So the likelihood of it denting or becoming, you know, undone seems to be greater than what I imagine is most of the other pistol or most of the other parts of the pistol, which are pretty reinforced for the most part. So that is actually something I did not know. That's awesome.
Hammer tuning will keep you from beating your your nipple face, but where you have to, why you have to take them out is they'll burn out.
Oh,
you
know, okay.
Enough use and you will burn them out. Like I said, they're venturi shaped inside, and you want that pressure, you want that fire to go through, light the powder off, and launch the ball, but you don't want a lot of back pressure. But enough caps going through the venturi burn them out. So this is why you will eventually need to, but if you do smash them or deform the nipple where they will not accept cones or caps, then of course they'll have to come out. So yes, they have to be, you need to be able to take them out. Number of people forget this, and initially they'll leave them in till they rust in place.
Huh.
And that's probably a new cylinder with cones if that really happens. You can soak them and get them loose, but it's another process.
So if that piece starts to wear out and you go to fire and do whatever, are you kind of getting a flash in the pan scenario where you don't have enough back pressure to launch that forward, or is it you're just getting a little more back blast, sort of say, or
yeah, you'll you'll as it erodes out, you'll want to try to push the cap off the cone or off the nipple and push back on the hammer and stuff. So, you know, this is why getting the cap seated on the cones is, you know, very important. A lot of people say, well, I've got, you know, number 11 Remingtons. I'll just squeeze them and put them on.
Yeah.
They will probably stay on the gun if you take them out around and slip them on the nipple. But, and I guess I can't put this off any longer, we've got to talk about chain fires.
Yes.
Because you've got an oblong object sealing a conular area, flash from the hammer setting off the cap at the 12 position can set off other of the other chambers.
It's
called a crossfire or a chain fire. And in competition, that means you fired two balls at once, one of them's a miss. The other problem you run into is if it fires on the left side of the gun as you're holding it, there's a chance that your projectile will clip off a thing called the wedge or the key, and they can come back at you.
Oh, man.
The ball can come back at you or go over your shoulder by someone standing by next to you and strike you. You know, I watched a young kid get hit right under the eye. Didn't have protective eyewear on, and I'm glad it didn't hit him any higher because it but again, a very sealed cap, a properly sealed cap, and a properly sealed chamber, chain fires are preventable. I've shot these pistols for over 50 years. I've never had a chain fire personally. I've seen them, but I've never had one.
Really quick, let me cut you off because we do have another caller.
Yes, please.
Caller, you should be on. You hear us.
What's the chance of interchangeable cylinder on a Ruger Old Army? Interchangeable cylinder actually working, you know. You got to match that pretty close, don't you?
Now, I don't have Ruger Old Armies. I have others, but you should be able to swap one cylinder between another. You can even add what they call metallic cartridge conversion cylinders that allow you to shoot regular, like 45 Colt and 44 through them. So, but yeah, you should be able to swap cylinders, you know, from or order a new cylinder for your Ruger and put it on the gun.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to do some tuning regardless. We usually do have to do a little bit of tuning with these guns as they come out of the box anyway, just to make them run smoother.
The timing of it,
yeah.
I had a Colt 44 Kodiak, and it needed that timing.
Yeah, and some parts interchange very easily. Others will require a little bit of work. Then you have things like, was your Pieta made in 1969? I have two of them, actually. And today's Pieta modern replacement parts do not fit so well. They have to actually be fitted.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for calling in. All right, but yeah, no, I mean, that's you know, again, things you don't really think about. But yeah, if you want to continue on, we got about 2 minutes before we go into another break or our last break.
I talked a little bit about lubing and wadding as being optional or you know, necessary, and that really becomes a shooter's choice. Now, the term a charged revolver versus a loaded revolver. A charged revolver is simply a black powder percussion revolver. That cylinder is charged with at least powder and ball, but no cap. That's a charged revolver, and so it's not live. It's you can't shoot it. You can draw it and cock the hammer, but it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
A loaded percussion pistol is now the same thing with a percussion cap. So if you go to a competition, you can have your charged pistols on your person, but you can't have a loaded pistol on you. That's the difference. It's just a percussion cap is the only thing that is basically different between a charged revolver and a loaded revolver at all. And of course, you want to treat every one of your loaded revolvers as you would any loaded firearm and such. And you want to be mindful if you have a cylinder that is charged and capped, there is a very infinitesimal, if I said that word correctly, chance that if it were to be knocked to the ground, that it could go off. I've actually tried to make that happen by just putting caps on the end of a cylinder and kept knocking it off a table. and I dent the caps and ding the nipples, but I actually never did get it to go off. However, if it can happen, it will.
It will
so
happen.
Please treat it that way, and don't let me talk you out of it unnecessarily. I've just tried to do some of it for my own.
All right. Well, that's great. That leads us right up into our next break. So, listeners, please stay tuned. We will be back in just a few short minutes here at Shooter's Corner. Thank you.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Ice fishing is great winter fun, if you're prepared. Now, before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need to limit out. Rods to tackle, to ice tents, and ice augers. And Frontier Outfitters has the right winter clothing to keep you toasty warm and dry. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Auto Trim Designs Tint and Paint Protection Film Department is now open. Their professional installers are ready to keep your vehicles looking sharp and protected all year long. Auto Trim Designs self-healing PPF shields your paint from scratches and wear, helping your car stay flawless for years. And with their window films, it adds a stylish deep black color to your vehicle windows. It also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by today.
KFAR weather.
Overcast skies today with highs around 14. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, 2 below. High temperatures reach up to 12 tomorrow, mainly clear. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times and dry. Saturday and Sunday near 10 above. Saturday, single digits above zero by Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Thank you, listeners, for waiting patiently. All right, so little discussion over the break. Something that the hammer did to his pistols. If you want to talk about it for a quick second, because I think that's interesting. Maybe some people don't know that that's an upgrade or a swap out that you can do.
Yeah. I went to a company called Slick Shots, and they have the cone unit that you can screw out of the back of your cylinder and put it put this new model in, and it's got a venting hole along the body of the nipple. And it's made of material, more modern material, that you will less likely burn out in the lifetime of your pistol. It is a different metal than your chambers, so less likely for it to rust in, although I always suggest you put a little bit of anti-seize on the threads. If you only do it once a year is good enough, and that should guarantee that anytime you want to take any brand or any style of cone out of that cylinder, it's good to go. And so keep that in mind.
I believe they're made out of stainless steel, kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Getting back to my rough outline. Will these pistols shoot accurately and consistently? Because that's what I hear. They're not very powerful. They're not accurate, and they're not consistent. Page three. And I laugh. I go, I'm going to put a metal – I'm teasing, of course. Put a metal plate on you in front of your T-shirt. I'm going to shoot at you. The gun's going to go off every time. It's going to hit you, and you're going to feel it. And, you know, Yes, it's always going to go off, and it's going to hit exactly where I shoot it.
Yeah.
So, again, like anything that has the appropriate attention to detail, if you load it as per your loading manual or as you've been instructed, they will shoot. They will shoot consistently. They will shoot powerfully, and they will shoot very, very accurately. I was shooting in Wyoming where with a club where they had plates with these little windows that were probably an inch by an inch. And I'm shooting a black powder percussion pistol like the 51 Navy here, and I'm actually flapping that window. The ball's going through the window, and I'm getting extra points. But you have to know how to do that, because technically for the Colt Army 60, when you cock it and you use the V-notch rear sight to the front notch, that's a lineup for 70 yards. You use that at 10 yards, you're going to shoot over, you're going to consistently miss every
you're
time.
You're going to lollipop those, yeah.
For information, is the V-notch, the rear sight, is actually on the hammer.
Yeah, it is on the hammer.
Or
yeah.
Spur.
It is not actually on a pinch frame. In fact, of course, on the open top, there is no top notch. You know, it's an open cylinder. Yeah. So
until you cock it, you have no rear sight.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Now, really quick before we continue, I did have a question. So with the – it's – cowboy action shooting or cowboy what is it that you guys
cowboy action shooting cowboy is action. What we do for the single action shooting society.
Yeah. And so with that, you know, a lot of people like myself have modernized firearms, but that's something that I've been looking to get into, is that cowboy action shooting, because I've always seen videos on it and some people think that's a little weird, but I think that's really cool because that's, you know, historically where mm-hmm. we came from, where
yes.
I think one of the most gruesome times in the United States was it was the Wild West, and, you know, stuff was a little crazier back then. So for someone that wants to get into the cowboy action shooting, if you wouldn't mind, just really quick, what would you say 1 to 2, beginner revolvers or pistols that match what the cowboy action shooting does? And roughly, what do you think their prices are? And then, what type of belts might they find, or where they might want to get that from?
Actually, you're getting kind of ahead of the curve. What we would actually tell you to do, and I'm surprised Barlow didn't jump in there, is that we don't want you to buy anything mm-hmm. when you first come out to see us, because okay. you're going to see break top firearms. You're going to see the Rugers. You're going to see the closed top Colts by Pieta. And so on and so forth.
Different barrel lengths, calibers.
Barrel lengths, grip styling, and the things is, because, you know, a lot of us, when we first started, we all bought Colt 73 Peacemakers.
Yeah.
And I quickly wandered away from it. And while it's certainly a very viable firearm, I cannot say bad of it. It is not a Montana Kid hammer handgun like the open tops are.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were to get into the market and go like to Taylor's or to Cimarron and all, you're going to find, even in the black powder or the metallic cartridge, you're going to see a price run. Sometimes they're specialed for, $300 and some odd dollars. Other times they're right up there in the $800, $900. Yeah. It depends upon, what you buy in style, make, model, and design. Now, as far as leather, you can, go to, Sportsman's Warehouse and find Cabela's and Midway USA, to get very generic holsters. In time, if you have someone who, or you can build your own leather, this is what you want to do, because you condition it for the firearm. Yep. So the pistol, it can never really be knocked out of leather, but you can have that pistol up so fast, people wondered where it came from. Yep. So in time you will, but to get started, start simple. Again, come and see Golden Heart Shooter Society. We actually will be having a meeting tonight at 7 o'clock at the Roundup Steakhouse. You can get there at 6 and join us to eat. But we'll be able to show you a whole lot more, be able to help you visualize all the stuff I've been rattling about, from paperwork, because, sadly, radio doesn't let me be real visual. But, as Matt puts out, it's a great way to learn history. Now, go like, I don't really know anything about the American. Don't worry. You don't need to know the West to come and shoot with us. But if you spend a couple of years with us, because
you it's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, you will know you will know the West, and that will actually help decide what you buy for lever gun, for shotgun, mm-hmm. and for revolvers. Because there's three reasons you buy guns. You buy these four guns based on what you absolutely love. You buy these guns for what you can shoot best and fast, or you buy the guns that you can afford and make work. Yeah. That's really the three reasons. I don't have five sets anymore. I've sold a few, but at one time I had five sets. Why? Because if I knew three new members or three prospective members were coming to a match, I'd bring percussion and metallic cartridge revolvers for them and matching leather or close to matching leather.
Yeah.
And all to help them begin to learn. And maybe the next match you come out and I provide you the ammo as well. But, you know, next match, maybe you get with Barlow and try something different that he has.
Yeah.
But in time, you will learn what you like. Next week's show, if I dare get so bold to mention, the ladies of Cowboy Action will be here. And they, for the ladies in the audience or for the men who would like to bring a lady in, they will tell you everything I've been telling you, probably with far better finesse.
To generally address your question, if I could interject there, kid.
Yes, please, and thank you.
Ruger Vaqueros in .38-45 caliber are very popular. That's okay. In the $900 range,
yeah.
$800 to $900 range. Uberti through either Taylor or, Taylor or Semmerline, an 1873 lever action, typically that's going to run you, what, 12 to... depending on where you get it, $1,200 to $1,600. The leather, Mertical makes a SAS starter set that's pretty decent to start with in the neighborhood of around $400 to $500. So it's not an inexpensive sport,
yeah.
You know, but all sports usually involve a buy-in. So
yep.
those are very common items.
Yeah. And if real quick before our time expires, I want to run through some of the warnings. I've spoken of the chain fire. Excuse me, already, which can happen on the front side or the back side of the cylinder, usually on the back side because of not enough cap care. Misfires, oftentimes all you have to do is cock it and run it back around. You'll seat the cap again, and it will go off. Again, always treat a loaded cylinder that is off the frame as a particularly loaded firearm. And never keep a cap under a hammer when the chamber is loaded, because anything that bumps that hammer will set off that cap. Now, interestingly enough, you can seat a cap with a hammer by walking it down and pushing it, because it's not the pressure that sets the cap off. It's the slap of the hammer that sets it off. And while we have rule books that say never to do that, in antiquity, in history, that is usually how Hickok and most people did. They put the cap on, you know, pushed it down good, and then they seated it, every one of them. And if you're carrying in a holster, load your six shooter with five, load your five shooter with four, load your four shooter with three, unless you know you're going straight to combat, and then just keep that hammer at half cock.
Yeah.
So those are the warnings I wanted to make mention of and all. You know, how long can you keep a charged pistol? I would cap it first and, you know, keep it in a safe. And as long as it stays tempered, I've had them in there a year and a half, gotten them out, and they work just fine.
And would you recommend with that type of storage, keeping those like gel silica packets, to make sure that moisture isn't getting in there and dampening the powder that?
Certainly.
Keep your powder dry.
Yeah, keep your powder dry. Yeah. It's one of the reasons, like I said, I will often keep caps on it. Because as long as there's a seated ball and a seated cap, all that powder sits in there and doesn't have any problem, unless your temperature ranges, you know, create condensation. And then you could have a problem with keeping your powder dry and all. So...
yeah, and I mean, that's the biggest thing with firearms is outside of doing the right thing, you want to make sure it's kept properly and safely, because you don't want to waste your money, you know, letting something rust and it, you know, go out the window. But that music you guys are hearing, for our dedicated listeners, you know what time it is. For people that are new, you know, that is the end of the show. Thank you guys for tuning in to Shooter's Corner.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, our sponsors. Thank both of you for coming on. It's a pleasure to see you again, Mr. Hammer. Nice to meet you, Don.
Nice to meet you.
A few reminders. We got our ACHP class. They're posted on the website. Our active self-protection is coming up June 20th through 21st. A little far out, but we're getting pretty close. So, again, please remember, stay free, stay prepared, and as always, stay American. Thank you so much for listening to Shooter's Corner here on KFAR Radio.
Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening to Shooter's Your Corner. Voice, your station. This is KFAR Radio, Fairbanks. The heart.